Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
Well, good morning, church. Doing well? Happy Father's Day. We've got chocolate for you for all the fathers at the end of the service, and the ladies on staff saw some boxes of chocolate on Friday, and they were saying, we receive flour, and you guys are receiving, you're going to have chocolate, and so maybe next year's going to be an exchange, so it maybe what's going to happen is that someone may snatch away your chocolate just by the response of the ladies. It was, okay, we know what to do next year, chocolate will be for you, all right. Dad's joke, I want to give you a few dad's joke. What does the wall say to the other wall? Let's meet in the corner. Pretty good, eh? Yeah. You know why a French Canadian brings a ladder to school? He wants to go to high school. But I got to tell you a joke, though. I'm not too much of a joke teller when I preach, but many years ago, we went to Florida. I don't think I ever said this joke publicly. So my wife and my son-in-law and my daughter may say, whoa. So we go to SeaWorld, and have you ever been to SeaWorld? Like, you see Shamu, it's pretty amazing and all that. But we went to see the seals, and well, the seals in French, it's written P-H-O-Q-U-E, like the F word. And so we're, as a family, we're looking at the P-H, and we are saying PH here, PH there, and we're just caught by the PH. And then we realize all the families, because it's like family is going to see the seals, right? And so the families are all staring at us like we are swearing and cursing, right? Because we're talking, just by the way, we're talking in French, right? And so we say, ah, and then we realize, wow, it was not a good thing to say. Anyway. So I know there's some parents that judge us that day, that we were not good parents. I was not a good father, but I have to say it was quite funny after. Very good. So if you're not too sure of what I'm saying, later on, not now, look at what it means, P-H-O-Q-U-E, and then you'll say, oh, okay, I get it. Very good. I'll ask you to stand. We'll come before the Lord. Father God, we thank you so much for your amazing grace and your amazing love for us. First, as we think about Father's Day, we think about you. We think of you, how amazing of a father you are. When we look at the affection you have for us and the plans that you have prepared in advance for us and the story of reconciliation from Genesis to now, is you desiring us to be part of your life. You that is the God and the maker of everything, you want to relate to me. And you gave your son so that we could be reconciled with you. It's so overwhelming. So we stand before you as a congregation and we tell you that we love you, Abba. We love you, Abba. You're so amazing. We want to know you more. We want to trust in you more. And we want to take the time to celebrate who you are and be grateful for your amazing love and your affection for us. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. You may grab a seat. So we will be starting next week a new series. We'll be going through the minor prophets in the Old Testament through the summer. Minor prophets, it's not that they're inferior to the major prophet. It's just that they wrote less. Their story and their books are a little shorter. And so we'll do that through the summer. I want to wrap up a bit the series we had, The Church on a Mission. I'd like to talk about the fathers that are on mission, but we were all on mission. And one of the key things that we need to understand when it comes to the mission that we're on, there's so many things that we could talk about. And even on the verse I'm going to read this morning, there's so much I could say. There's so many different angles I could talk or approach. But one of the things we need to understand and what we need to take a hold of is what is my view of Jesus? How do I see Jesus? And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, we see a snapshot. It's a small verse, short verse, but it says a lot, and there's a lot that could be said. And I can't make justice to all the different streams or thoughts that could come from this verse, but it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It really talks about his transcendence, that he is beyond time, that he is divine, and he is in the past, the present, in the future at the same time. My mind can't really take a hold of that, but that's who our God is. And what I'd like to unpack this morning, it's to know the Jesus of yesterday and to know the Jesus of today, but also to know the Jesus of tomorrow. Like I said, there's lots of different paths I could go with that verse, because there's so much to say, right? But when it comes to knowing the Jesus of yesterday, I believe it's very important for us to know the biblical story, or the grand story that we find in the Bible. From the start in Genesis to the book of Revelation, we see this grand story. And this grand story, it starts with the seed that is prophesied to Adam and Eve, and that the seed is Jesus. And through the Old Testament, we see the seed grow. There's more knowledge that we discover. We learn to know the Messiah more and more. And as we look at the Old Testament, we see the reflection of Jesus through the Old Testament, not only in regard of his first coming, but also in regard of his second coming. And when we look at his second coming, we see a lot of truth and principles or images that we find in the Old Testament. But one of the things that we are called to do is to know the Jesus of the Bible, because there's so many different interpretations of Jesus, right? I remember having a book that was given to me by my aunt, and it was like the Jesus that walked on earth, but it was not the Jesus of the Bible. So it's important for us to know the Jesus of the Bible and to know who he is. And when we go through the gospel, we find who Jesus is, right? We find his mission. We find his character. We see his character. We see why he came. He came to rescue and to save. Actually, he died on the cross, as we see through the gospel, for our sins. And we see him risen from the dead. And we read his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount and all about what we're called to do and be. It's so rich. Amen? And so we want to discover the Jesus of Scripture, because I believe that our faith is based on that, because there's so many different voices. And the thing is, if you don't know the Jesus of the Bible, it's going to be easier for you to be detracted or derailed, and you don't want to see that happen. And so when we look at the Jesus of the Bible, we see him care for sinners. We see him meeting the need of people that were humbly coming before him. We see him loving the unlovable. We see him also confronting the religious and so on. So my prayer is that you would know the Jesus of the Bible, that you would take the time to study who Jesus is and also his ways. When we look at the epistles of Paul, we see Paul sharing really the teaching of Christ. It's all connected. So it's important for us to know the Jesus of the Bible. And so we don't want to be illiterate to God's word. Amen? And we don't want to be a people that only listen to what others say about Jesus. And we want to discover the Bible. And if you look back when Luther came and when the first Bible was printed, it changed the face of the earth, right? Printed Bible that the people could read. Now people could read on their own. They didn't need to have a mediator between them. They could go and read the story of Jesus. And today, when it comes to the printed Bible, we have a ton of Bible in our homes. You have all the versions that are possible on your phone or whatever platform you use. And so we want to remember, and we want to know the Jesus of the past, and we want to know the Jesus of the Bible. According to a theologian called Borthon Payne, he reported 103 direct report of Jesus, who Jesus was going to be when it comes to the Gospels. And that is a lot of descriptions in regard of a direct regard, a direct prophecy in regard of Jesus in 18 books, and there's 774 verses that speak specifically of Jesus. I'm not talking about symbols, but that talk about who Jesus is, from the donkey he sat on when he arrived to Jerusalem to the place of birth and so on. So there's so many references to Jesus. So when it comes to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The other thing that we want to remember, and we want to know the Jesus of the past, but we want to know the Jesus of today. Can you say that to your neighbor? I want to know the Jesus of today. Jesus of today is a present reality. It's not a fiction. The Jesus of today, it's not a fiction. Like, Jesus did not just leave us great teaching. He left us himself. Jesus did not just give us a description of who he is, but desires to walk with us. And I'd like to unpack this thought. I think it's so important for us to remember that. If you look at Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So we're not at the end of the age. That means that Jesus is with us, right? It says in John chapter 14, verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphan. I will come to you." And he talks about the Holy Spirit that would come and reveal what needs to be revealed. And this is where we also find the Spirit of Jesus that led the apostle in the book of Acts. In John 15, verse 4 says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you." So it's not an abstract concept. It's a true fact that when it comes to who Jesus is, he wants to be with us and he can be with us. When we have this picture in the book of Revelation of Jesus knocking at the door of the church, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." What does it mean? It means that the ascended Jesus comes and reveals himself to humanity through the Holy Spirit. Pretty impressive, right? That the Jesus that rose from the dead, when he walked in the churches in the book of Revelation, the seven churches found in Minor Asia, Jesus walked in the church. And he blessed and he gave correction. But he's not just the Jesus of the Bible, he's the Jesus of our today. And one of the things that may happen when it comes to how we live our life is that we study Scripture. And it's amazing, we got to do that. And we see the Jesus, the red letters of Jesus in the Bible, and we're so pumped and so marveled by the wisdom that we find in the book. And this is so important. But there's also the reality of Jesus in our lives. And we need to see this, right? You look at in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, when Paul was just like people wanted him to die, and he's feeling that fear and that pressure. It says, "The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage, Paul. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" What a picture, right? Of Jesus coming beside Paul and said, "Hey, take courage, Paul. I've got a calling for you. You're going to go to Rome." So they're not going to kill you here today. "I made you with purpose, and you haven't fulfilled your race yet, so I'm with you." But Jesus speaks to him. In Acts chapter 16, verse 7, it talks about the disciples coming to the border of Mysia and headed north from the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So why is it written the Spirit of Jesus? It's because the author wanted to show the promise that Jesus gave, "Never I will leave you, never will I forsake you," that Jesus will be with you through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Pretty amazing, right? And so we want to discover this Jesus. We want to discover the Jesus of the Bible, but we want to discover the personal Jesus. And believing in Jesus includes not only trusting that he exists and saves, but also to recognize that he's close, involved, and personally present in our lives. This is, in a theological term, we call that immanence. Immanence, that God is immanent. That God is transcendent, meaning that he is above, that he rules over the earth, that he makes the earth his footstool and the heaven his throne. Picture that. That's the greatness of our God. But not only that he's transcendent, but he's immanent. And immanent means is that he is present in our lives. So I might read the Bible and be excited to see the Jesus of the Bible, and we should be. But there's another department, another approach, or another facet. It's to see Jesus in our today. Same yesterday, but today. And it's so imperative for us to understand that. I wasn't saved only to admire Jesus from a distance. I was saved to walk with him. I follow not a memory, but Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't just teach a way. He is the way. And he walks with me on it. Like, he's not just Jesus of history. He's my story, right? It's not just an event in the past or a historical figure. He's alive and well in us, right? So it's very important for us to see that, because that will influence the way I live my life, right? If you see only Jesus in Scripture, and you only know Jesus from the Bible, it's going to be amazing, right? To some degree, because your faith is anchored in who Jesus did, who Jesus is, and what he did. But there's another level when you see the imminence of Jesus in your life. You get up in the morning, he's with you. You do life, he's with you. You struggle with issues in life, from sickness, whatever comes your way, you know that he's with you. Way deeper than just to see Jesus as a historical figure. And we're called to discover Jesus in this way. The reality is that I'm never alone. Can you say that to your neighbor? I'm never alone. And one of the stories in the Bible that reminded me of this, in Daniel chapter 3, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they dared to stand against the king, order to bow and worship the statue, and they were thrown into the fire. Like, and then they said, pump up the heat. Like, let's show to them that the king is the God that we should worship. And then, I don't know how they saw that through a window, or I don't know exactly how furnaces looked and then, but they saw a fourth person in that fire, and they said he looks like a son of God. And it was a Christophany, it's where Jesus appeared, and he was there with them. I look at that picture. For me, it triggers this belief that Jesus is not just in this book, but he's right here, right now. Every moment of your life, you're never alone. And I don't know, when I get a hold of this truth, it brings such a peace, right? I look at you men, fathers. A lot of pressure on you, right? The pressure of taking care of your household financially. I know that time has changed, and I know that it becomes a team, a husband and a wife. But even though there's a team between a husband and a wife, I know that in most men, there's that sense of responsibility. Even though it's shared, it's still there. It's ingrained in us as we're called to lead by example, but lead, right? Like, you want to fix things. How many of you as father, you really want to fix things, right? And it, because you want to encourage and you want to bless, at the same time, you want to say, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. As men, we were made to do that. We were made to watch over, to protect, right? And it's like the idea, I don't have that in my notes, but in a wedding where the father walks the bride down the aisle, And why do you walk the bride on the left side? Just in case someone would come in middle age, you have to take your sword out, because most people were right-handed to protect the groom, or the bride, not the groom, the bride. And just the image of how we were made as men and as fathers, right? To protect, to provide, to perform, to be the Tim Allen of our family, right? Where we just want to fix stuff. And we were made like this, but sometimes it becomes heavy. And the thing is, when it comes to anxiety, us man, we're not very quick to say that we need help, right? We want to show that we have our world under control because we feel responsible, so everything is fine. But in many occasions, it's not all fine, right? You got fears you have in your heart and all this and things that you deal with. And I know that you ladies do that too. You have that too. But I just want to specify that you're not called to carry this alone. You got to realize that Jesus is with you. Like, it's not a cliche. It's not just, oh, okay, you went to church, that's what you're supposed to say, and that's what you're supposed to hear. But it's the truth. In our theology, we believe in the imminence of Christ. That Jesus is walking in the church. That Jesus is walking with us. That we're never alone. Again, I believe that some of us, we bought in this theology that Jesus is only found in Scripture, and you're trying on your own to follow His ways. But it's more than that. You got the Lord Jesus that is promoted by the Holy Spirit. Because that's the job or the call of the Holy Spirit. It's to promote Jesus. As Jesus focuses on the Father, the Holy Spirit focuses on Jesus. And so Jesus is revealed in your life by the Holy Spirit, telling you that you're not alone. You know? One of the things that we need to learn is to experience God in the secret. We need to experience God in the secret because things are too, there's too much. There's too much taxes. Forget about the government right now. There's too much things that falls on us. It's too heavy. Gotta go. We gotta experience God. Maybe just 5 minutes. Spending 5 minutes with God. Taking a pause. When things are so going crazy, take a pause. Experience His peace. Experience His joy. And I think when we understand the imminence of God, that Jesus is with us, then we take a minute aside, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. Can do that any time of the day, take 5 minutes. Hey, Jesus, come on, you see where I'm going, you see, help me out, give me wisdom. I just need your peace right now. Just wash over me with your love. And you do that, and you develop this way of life where you understand and believe in the imminence of God and the reality of Jesus with you through the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's going to change a lot of stuff, right? Because a lot of men, they go to substance, like a beer or whatever. I'm not talking it's wrong about to do that, but it's to find your source, your comfort in the right place. And I believe that we can find that in Jesus. And it's important for us to understand the imminence of God. Like, so we want to experience Him in the secret. And the door is always open, right? We don't want to miss on that. We can, because of the imminence of God, I can't expect Him to intervene. When things are beyond my abilities, His presence is not symbolic. He's really there. It doesn't stop at me, right? If I'm frank with you, if we talk about fatherhood, when your kids are born, I remember each one of them how special it was. Especially Valerie, the first one was how we have a girl. Like, wow, right? And then you become a father and you're so excited. But the reality is that I will be a father until I die. I never stop being a father. I'll never stop to be a father. And sometimes that's a little overwhelming because being a father, I'm called to show the way. I'm called to be an example. I'm called to be the first. Like, as much as we want to hear where we want to say the father is the head of the family, but the head of the family doesn't all mean, really talks about being an example, like Christ is the example of the church. And so when I think about being an example, sometimes I'm a little afraid because of the call. But I got to realize I can't do it on my own. And the Holy Spirit and the virtues of Christ, who Jesus is manifested through the Holy Spirit. And so I'm not alone. But I need to realize that there's a call on my life. And I will have this call until I die. So it's not something that I'm just a father for a season. I've got to show example in forgiveness. I've got to show example in generosity. I've got to show example in every areas of life because God called me to lead, right? But I need His grace upon my life. I need Him in my life. That's why I need to understand the imminence of Christ in my life. Amen? Changes, because otherwise then it becomes too heavy. Maybe you're raising your kids alone. Maybe you're a mother taking care of your kids. It applies to you too. It's not just for guys that we are called to rely on and see the imminence of Jesus. But I think seeing the imminence of Jesus changes a lot of things. To think that He has prepared good works in advance for me to practice. Think about that, fathers. God made you with purpose. And you on this purpose until you die. I was talking to the elderly get-together last week, and I was giving the example of being an anchor. And for me to be an anchor is more than just an anchor that you throw out of a boat so that you don't move. My image of an anchor is I grew up in Northern Ontario where they did wood drafting. And wood, like a lot of, like you've probably been or you've seen that on TV, you don't see the water, you just see trees. But for me, an anchor is those big logs that are driven in the riverbed. And they're driven there. And what happened is that, people that works in the bush, what they do is they take the trees, they throw in the river, and the river leads the trees. But the thing is, if there's no anchor, if there's no one to attach the logs together, then all the logs are just a free-for-all. But they're not a free-for-all. If you would see a river where the logs, where it's covered the river, they're all attached. And they're all attached to this anchor. And I was telling the elderly last week that God has called me and you to be anchors. Because this world is in need of anchors. And this is where, as fathers and as grandfathers, we're called to be anchors in a world where it's a free-for-all, right? And we got to realize that there's a calling upon our lives for that, right? You know, at the same time, sometimes it's easier to only know the Jesus of the past because I can keep a distance. I can keep Him at a distance. And I can't keep doing what I want to do and pursue my own wants. It's easier to admire a historical Jesus than to submit to a present Lord. Would you agree with me? It's a lot easier to admire the Jesus of the Word versus submitting to Him, the imminence of Jesus with me right now. The imminence of Jesus in my car, in my house, in my backyard, that Jesus is always there. When Jesus becomes a living presence in our lives, He starts to challenge my idols, redirect my priorities. Like a historical Jesus doesn't confront me, but a living Jesus does. Like if you only know Jesus' scripture, it's awesome that you know who Jesus is, but it's just going to be there. There's going to be a distance between you and the reality of what God wants to be. He wants to be imminent in your life. He will come and disrupt your plans, but it's going to be amazing because His plans are better, right? We look at John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief come only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life to the fullest if you follow Him, right? And so the call in our life, it's not just to keep Jesus in the book and to admire the Jesus of the book, but to acknowledge the imminence of God in your life, that He's with you and walking beside you, and that there's such a blessing, at the same time, there's accountability. Thirdly, The Jesus of tomorrow is the rewarder of the faithful. Look what it said in Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give it to anyone according to everyone according to what he has done. So I've got to know the Jesus of the past. Absolutely. I got to realize that Jesus is imminent. He's present right now. That's huge. And I need to know that life doesn't stop here. Jesus is in my tomorrow when it comes to eternity. I believe that when we lose sight of eternity, it's easier for us to chase comfort and forget our calling. It's like a train, for example. You have this massive machine, and you remove the tracks, and it's pointless. Like a train with no tracks, it doesn't do very good. But the track is there to release the train to do what it can do. And it's the same thing with us. If we remove the principle of God's word and we focus on personal preference and we don't live with the knowledge of eternity that one day we will meet God face to face, if we don't live by that, then we're going to live according to our own desires, like it says in Judge 21, verse 25, where the people did according to what was right to their own eyes, right? And so what I'm trying to say here is that when we look at the Jesus of yesterday, I talked about it, of today, I just did talk about that. But to see the Jesus of tomorrow is to realize it doesn't stop here. That we're called to live with eternity at mind, because it's a question. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when, right? So when I remember eternity, it gives me the ability to endure the temporary. Like, we used to go to Florida with the kids. We went to Florida quite a few times. But the first one we went to Florida, the kids had no idea that it would take us 3 days to go, right? And so one of the saying that you hear kids say, are we there yet, right? Are we there yet? But for you as a driver, you know where you're going. You know that you're going to Orlando and you got a steal of a deal on eBay, but you still have to go through the sales pitch, right? Because it's kind of a timeshare, but they give you a deal if you go through it. So you're excited to go and you're preparing yourself for the sales pitch of the salesman that will be waiting for you at the resort. But the thing is, you look at the map, and you know that you're going in that direction, but the kids don't have a clue, right? And so they have no concept of time. Well, for us as believers, we should have a concept of time, right? We can't be like these kids in the car that says, are we there yet? We know there's an end. And so we got to live according to that, right? We got to live according to the Jesus of yesterday, of tomorrow, that will separate the sheep and the goat. So that should influence how I live my life. That he's the same yesterday, today, but tomorrow, that it doesn't stop here, right? It's not just about living well. It's about finishing well. What am I leaving behind? Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers so you still do. So here we see God rewards. If you look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, so let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. And so we want to finish well. We know that life doesn't stop here. Father, life goes beyond our lives. So we're called to live with eternity at mind. And I believe that eternity clarifies what really matters. It really does. I remember 20 years ago-ish, 21 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And she had lost tremendous weight. And she was in a second bout of fighting with cancer. And we decided to go camping in the region of Wawa, Ontario, up in the north, in a tent trailer, no running water, no toilet. And so my dad came with her. They had the big RV, you know, and we had a little tent trailer. And so my dad didn't really like the area that we were because it was right in the bush. But my mom loved it. And my dad said to my mom, we should go because it's not comfortable for you. My mom says, no, I want to stay. And so finally my dad went home and she stayed in her little tent trailer. And she had the dog all over her, the three kids. It was like we were six in a tent trailer plus the dog. And we went in trails that we should have never brought her. Like, I think about it now, we were idiots, really. I was an idiot son to carry her like she was frail. But what really, really, really got to me was that she wanted to be with us so passionately. Like, she always loved us and always was there for us, but it was more concentrated. Because you know what? She knew that she was going to die. And she wanted to take every moment to be with us, even though it was not comfortable. Like, eternity changes the how we do life. When eternity is not at hand, we don't really care, really, about our relationship. We get caught with the moment, and we don't live with purpose because, we see that it's not close, but we don't know how close it is. You might be in your 20s. You don't know how long you'll live. But one of the things that we need to remember is that we're called to live with eternity in mind. Like, we're called to live with that. So just to recap, know the Jesus of the past, but don't stay there. Know the Jesus of today, please. Know that Jesus wants to walk with you today. And know the Jesus of tomorrow, that one day you'll stand before him. And its life is spinning by. Let that influence the way you live so that you might enter your post-life, your future life as good and faithful servant. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.